to really give you a good insight into intensely personal work or personal productivity, which is what writing is about. This is a real practical kind of thing. Between the three of us, I think maybe you'll find something from each of us that might be able to help you in your motivation and take the edge off your ambition a little bit. What ambition do you have for this? So so I'm going to open it, and I'm going to have these guys also share a little bit from their heart, and then we'll take questions. I think that's the best way for it to go, because I can't anticipate everything that's going on in everyone's mind, because we're all very different people. So this is a Bible conference, so we should have something from the Bible to help us launch into this, and I'll give that sort of devotional thought about the mindset that we have as we dive into something like this, and then I'll share some practical things that have worked for me, and then I'm hoping that Pastor Sliva and Chad can also share some of the things that they have that they do to help them create and put things into words. So. So, Lord, thank you for gathering us together tonight, for everyone in this room. They all have their ideas about this. Maybe they have a story. All of us do have stories, and we're just thankful for what you've woven into ours. And we just pray for this evening together, these moments together, and just your leading us in this, Lord, and giving us something from your heart and something that will really move us. And we just pray for the whole evening tonight, this conference, Lord. We just thank you for the great things that are happening here. Also, Lord, we pray for those who are in need, people, health issues and things that are hitting them at this point in time. So in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right, so I'm going to read this one verse. Maybe you know what verse it is, but it is like a verse that speaks to me anyway. This is Psalm 45, verse 1, and this is David's writing this, and it becomes a song of loves. But he said, "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." That's my scripture there to give you that. I think my tongue is, I like this, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer, because you are a writer when you say you are a writer. Okay. When you choose to be a writer, that's when you become a writer. It's not, I went to school and someone told me I'm kind of interesting with words. That happened to me in third grade. My third grade teacher said, you're kind of interesting the way that you put words together. You like to tell stories. I know now that all men are liars. I was a good liar. And, so I could put together words and I told stories. My career followed a certain, I knew that I wanted to be a writer, I knew that I wanted to be a sports writer, and I did become a sports writer. So that happened to me. I started taking money when I was 16, writing stories for Overly High School. It's still over there on Kenwood Avenue. It's still up there. And, I would go to a game, I'd write a story, a guy who lived down the street from me took pictures, and my mom would type up what I would scribble, and because I didn't know how to type yet. That happened when I got, in my junior year of high school. I took a painful secretarial class and learned how to type without looking at the hunting and pecking. Now I can type fairly well. That started a career that I had in journalism. So I made a living as a writer for more than until 2004. No, 2006. 2006 I got my last paycheck from the Baltimore Sun. So that's the way that I did it. But you know, I was assigned things in writing. So what did I learn? I had to learn how to write on demand. It's like if I didn't write my stories, then I didn't get paid. It's like you have had that like in your college careers maybe, or your high school careers, maybe your work careers. You've been given the challenge or the what is it? Given the challenge or the assignment. You have to write this 500-word paper. How do I begin? I don't know where to begin. I don't have inspiration, so I just won't start. You know, when you're a professional writer, like I was, like, which means you get paid, you know, someone pays you for your work, like there is no such thing as writer's block. What do you do when you have writer's block? It's like we're not allowed to have that. Why? Because we don't get paid if we don't turn our stories in. It's like when you were a freelance writer, as I was for the first 5 years of my career, from 16 to 20, 21, then you are, you know, you don't get paid unless you turn the story in. So it's like you have to develop like a way to like get through like the blahs. Like it's like how do I turn this into like brushing my teeth? You know, that's what I'm saying. That's why I like I brush my teeth every day. How many words do you write? I write 500 to 1,000 words every day. They all go into little books like this. I'm like a pencil and paper kind of person. Everything goes into the computer at some time, but I'm a pencil and paper kind of person. When I was in the newspapers, I wrote on a computer, but this way, you know, I find the idea of using pencil on paper. I find it like really, what is it? The words get deeper into me. You know, whatever, especially when I'm reading my Bible and I get a thought and write those kinds of things down. So this is not a boast. It's just like I always have my notebooks with me on stage because I've been asked like a couple of times, like on the spot, like, could you do like 10-minute introduction on forgiveness or something like that? So I have my most recent notebooks with me. So I'm going, okay, sure, no sweat. And really, I'm sweating. But, you know, I mean, I got to go up and deliver a message. But I already have like sort of like something written down because I make it a habit of that. So that's the thing. I'm going to go through this really quickly and then turn this over to Pastor Sliva to tell you. These guys have published their own books. They have published things. They have done self-publishing and used their own money to produce their material and have it for sale to people. I haven't done that. You know, I haven't done that. I write a blog every week that appears on Greater Grace World Outreach. And also, I have my own blog, steveandrelonis.com, called I Write. It's like, and why do you call it I Write? Because it's honest. It's like, it's what it is. If you come to that place, you're going to read something that I've written. I wanted to call it Apes and Peacocks, but I decided not to. Apes and Peacocks is like a little verse at the end of, like First Kings, like, and it tells me the degeneration of, because apes and peacocks, you can't, like, Solomon imported apes and peacocks to the kingdom. That's how far he had gotten from God, like, because apes just are a show of strength and peacocks are a show of vanity. It's like, I'm starting to preach a message, and that's not what I'm here to do. Anyway, so I just decided to be honest about what my, you know, I write, and I was very, you know, I made sure that I didn't do the small I with the capital W because I think Apple products own every word connected to that. iPad, iPhone, iSleep, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, so I'm going to give you some things that work for me and that get me going when I'm like feeling like I shouldn't do this. So develop a habit, find a place or places or something that works for you that you can put down the words that come into your head. Quantity is the secret to quality. All of us, you know, in my experience, like the more that you write, then you harvest. Like I have all these books. I have a couple of file cabinets full of these books now. My kids gave them to me for Christmas about, you know, 10 or 12 years ago, and I just started using them that way. And it's like, and I became a different kind of writer. You know, nonfiction writing headlines, those kind of things. I am the 4-time attending champion headline writer for the state of Maryland. I did that in the middle of the 90s, 4 straight years in a row. I had a headline, and they selected my headline as the best. One was, like, really stupid. A Swedish woman won the U.S. Women's Open here in Baltimore, and I wrote, "How sweet it is." And they said, "Wow, that's a great headline." I'm like going, okay, all right. So that's the way it happens. But I develop a habit. I find a place. I have a place usually at the kitchen table with my coffee and my Bible, and like usually most of my writing flows from the Bible. So quantity is the secret to quality. The more you produce, because the essence of writing is rewriting. Like that's why deadlines are important. That's the next thing. Set a deadline, because without a deadline, nothing would ever get published, because you just keep fiddling with everything. I got to make, writing is the great thing for a control freak. You can help your friends, your families, your neighbors, your relatives, if you could just start writing, because you control everything. And if you know the rules well enough, you can break them. Like not I before E, except after C or something like that. That's broken in a lot of places. But if you know the rules, you can break them and figure out, like, there's ways to do it. But so writing, if you're waiting to be moved, that could be a long time. That could take a long time. So, fill up your screen or fill up your book with 500 words a day. Start there. It happens very fast. Don't edit. Just think. It's like your stream of consciousness begins the process. Then you can organize later on. Diaries, journals, those kind of things, notebooks, fill them up with, and then harvest. Harvest the best stuff, and tighten it up, brighten it up, active things. All right? Writers must read also. So you've got to find some authors that really touch you. And I suggest the King James Bible. I was shocked by this, but it is one of the most active, elegant forces of English language on the planet. It gave birth to Shakespeare. Shakespeare would not be Shakespeare if it wasn't for William Tyndale, and William Tyndale produced 75% of what we now have in our English Bible. William Tyndale, if you want to, God's Outlaw, William Tyndale, it's a great YouTube movie. You can watch it. It's about 2 hours long. And you'll see some of the thought processes that William Tyndale went through to put some of the words that he was translating from the Hebrew and the Greek into the King James Bible. Now, yeah, some of the words are archaic, but the prose is active and penetrating. And so, but you can find some other. What are some of my favorites? C.S. Lewis. I love his children's books. I read them like every summer. It's like I'll go through the line from the beginning to the end. And, they're just great pictures of salvation. Some of that, Chaim Potok, who wrote The Chosen and other books about, my favorite of his is My Name is Asher Lev. You can plug in My Name is Mati Servio in that, because it's about a child abstract artist who happens to live in a Hasidic family and how they deal with that. A Hasidic ultra-Orthodox Jewish family has a painter. And he's an abstract painter, modern artist. My name is Asher Lev and The Gift of Asher Lev. It's two books. They're really, I recommend them. I like Eugene Peterson. I mean, he did the Message Bible. You might find something heretical about that Bible translation. I'm sorry if you do. But I have found his writings to be amazingly lucid and careful about everything that he writes about from the Bible. Outside of like Christianity, Malcolm Gladwell, I like his writing. I'm just giving you my own. You have to find your own. Find some people that you really enjoy that. And then the last thing I would say this, I have a process, and my process goes like this. I take my subject and I think of five words, five nouns and five verbs, and I write them quickly on the piece of paper, and then I rest. And then I wait a minute, I look at those, and then I'll do it again. Five nouns and five verbs. And I'm not really concerned whether these verbs are synonyms and other things. I'm just like trying to get something. The subject is salvation. I'll just start, it's a big subject, but I'll start writing these words down there. And then the last part is two words, two verbs, two nouns. So I have 12. Once I get to that, I don't know why 12 is, 12 tribes, 12 apostles, 12 thrones, 12 great gates. It's probably from reading the Bible that I have 12 in my mind, but it just has worked for me over the course of my life, is that if I'm stuck and I don't really, I just start getting words down and then I start putting them together. And I usually get like six or seven good sentences out of those words. And sometimes like I can get a real what they call thesis statement. That's like an old word that we don't use anymore. But it means something. It doesn't mean something. It means like there's a main point that's driving everything that you're writing about. Like, and that should come to you at some point before you start a piece of writing. And so I would say get yourself some discipline in your production. Write letters to imaginary friends or real friends. I'm writing a letter to an old girlfriend. Don't tell my wife. But I'm not going to send it. I'm just sort of like writing it. This woman is responsible for me being a believer. And now I think she's married to an unbeliever. It's like kind of crazy. I'm like trying to figure out. I'm not going to send it. It's just like I'm wondering how to pray for this man, you know, because her family is responsible for me being right here doing what I'm doing. But like, you know, these kinds of ways of like stimulating yourself to put something down on paper is, you know, like I said, this is intensely personal work. My 5-5-2 program might not work for you. You know, you might have to find another way. Some people like to just like scribble off, you know, 10 short sentences. That could work too. But I've found that if I can get 12 nouns and 12 verbs, I've got the potential for something. And it's worked for me. It's worked for me on tight deadlines and everything. I just write down the words and just try and pick out something. Get a good thesaurus. I recommend the Synonym Finder by Rodale. R-O-D-A. I mean, unless you like to use these. But anyway, you know, unless you like to use those, that's fine. You can use the Synonym Finder that's on there. I prefer paper. Something about smell and paper. I'm like a Chevelliite in that way. I like to feel the things between my fingers and everything like that. But anyway, that's all for me right now, I think. I think I'm going to turn it over now to Pastor Sliva and let him talk about his processes.
Thank you. Okay, so I'll be very brief. hey, isn't it it's a privilege to have Pastor Steve as in our church, huh? With all of his background and experience, I think it's just so helpful. And the thing I love about Pastor Steve, not to dote on, but he's so relaxed always. And I think that's a very important quality to writing. I'm just going to briefly give you my little story. I wrote this book here when my son passed away. That's 12 years ago. And I had something to write about at that time, you know, and actually I had done very well in college English years and years ago, but I had never developed the gift, if it is such a thing. You know, I never really pursued writing, because basically I never really pursued anything, because I grew up with a very poor self-image, and I carried that into my Christianity as well. And I discovered a lot about that during the time where my son passed, and I decided for the first time that I wanted to say something. I had something I wanted to say, something I felt like was worthy to be said, and I also felt like people probably don't know this stuff that I know, you know, and of course they do anyhow, but a lot of people don't know what it means, or when, you know, when you lose somebody that you love. So I don't want to get on that. We're talking about writing today. But I think a couple of things about writing that I've discovered along the way, and I'm no pro by any means. I've had a few of my blogs published by Greater Grace website, and I'm thankful for that. But one of the things I think that, and this is going to be a little different than what Pastor Steve kind of gave you, but I feel like this as I grow, and I decided after I wrote this book that maybe I want to pursue writing. I want to be a writer. I want to write. Part of that is because I'm old, which means I'm not going to be able to do a lot of the other things that I used to be able to do. So I'm preparing for my future, which is almost now, you know. So I know at least this, I can write something, you know. I can still do that. But as I kind of left my knee-jerk adventure in writing this one, having it published, going into the idea of writing myself and becoming a writer, I discovered there's a whole lot more to the craft than I realized. And one of the things that I had to come into face to face with is the idea of how people perceive your writing. Now, I don't know if Pastor Steve thinks about that stuff at all. Probably not. But I feel like I need to think about, will somebody read my writing? Not just because I have a great story, but moving down the line, maybe I don't have such a great story anymore, but I still want to write things. And so I'm studying writing is really what I'm doing. And I've discovered that writing, a certain style of writing, which I've adopted now, it requires work. There's work involved. There's no such thing as let's put it this way. I don't want to make statements like there's no such thing because I don't know if there's such a thing. But I've discovered that writing for me is getting those thoughts, those words, maybe those letters, those verbs, those nouns, but arranging them on paper in such a way that people can understand what the heck I'm talking about. And I think that, for me, is very important for me. I want to recommend to you, just because I don't really know what we're doing in this class so much, but I'd like to recommend a book to you, which was probably the most helpful book. How many read books on writing, how to write? Yeah, well, throw all those books away and get this one. Is this the only one that ever made any sense to me? It's called Revising Prose by Richard Lanham. And he spelled it out very well for me in terms of my understanding of how to write. Richard Lanham, it's called Revising Prose. And what he does is basically teach you how to write interesting writing. And like I said before, to write interesting writing, I'll just give you a couple of clues. One of the things, and on the first chapter here, he goes right into the several steps of how to write well. And the first thing he says is go through your writing, and I'm taking a risk here. You know, Pastor Steve is not going to tell anybody how to write, but I'm going to tell you how to write. He said, go through your writing. Find all your is words, your was words, your have words, your been words, all those kind of words like that, and just cross them right out. Cross them right out of your writing. Because, frankly, and excuse what I'm going to say next, these words are characteristic of lazy writing. These are verbs that are used by many, many people in writing and in speaking, but they don't exemplify a guy who actually has sought out and maybe used a thesaurus, but has discovered the right words. Has discovered better words that can articulate the things that you want to say. And what I've discovered is if I'm willing to do that, which requires work, that those words, it's amazing how, and I feel like the Holy Spirit is our helper in our writing. I feel like the Holy Spirit will help me to pick out words that actually convey the meaning much better than what I started as, the way that I started out. I have is, George is good. Well, you know, here's the thing that leads me to say I don't want to keep doing that is because I've read this, believe it or not, that people fall asleep when they read that kind of stuff. You know, when they read those kinds of things, they're not Yeah, it's like boring writing, especially if you're writing something very long and you're attaching things to it, et cetera, that are not so great. So I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyhow, point being, if we're going to write, let's learn how to write right. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's where I'm at right now with my writing. I just did self-publish another book, and it's my second book. But this one, actually, I tried to write right in this book anyhow. And I don't think I had such a great story as I had in the first one. But anyhow, I graduated to writing right. And last thought I had for you, it takes courage to write. Because all of a sudden, especially if you're going to write and put something on the internet, people are going to read it. And first time I did that, I thought, oh my gosh, what if my pastor reads this? Like, what if people in the church read this? Because I don't really know a lot. I don't know what other people know. I mean, I know a little bit. Do I have the guts to put my stuff out there anyhow? I found that I had to cross over some kind of a barrier to be able to do that. And I felt like that was a big part of the whole deal. Do I have the guts to put something out there? Do I care what people think? Am I willing to accept criticism from other people? Can I be wrong? What if my pastor reads that? What if? You know, so I want to encourage you, and probably everything I said discouraged you. But anyhow, that's where I'm at with the writing. And I feel like it's a great avenue for old people like me and even young people that know, you know, maybe know more. But I'll shut up now and turn it over to the experts. Thank you.
Definitely not an expert here, but I believe God has, like, really given a gift to any of you that have started writing or have written anything. And just quick story. I kind of discovered writing in my second year of college. It was an English class, of course. And I was assigned to read a book by, I think it was Dyson, and he writes on Tupac. It was actually the title of the book was Holler If You Hear Me, and it was a biography of Tupac, the art that he left behind, the culture. And then the other one we had to read was Motorcycle Diaries by Che Guevara. And both of these characters are not ideal characters to read about. And I found myself just really, this teacher for some reason just stood out in a way that he actually was interested in what we had to say about what we were reading and was very intentional about drawing out what we thought about what was being put out there, because both Tupac and Che Guevara are, like, controversial characters, and they made, like, cultural impacts that, I mean, even in Cuba, it's still being seen what Che Guevara's done. And, I mean, as you see with hip-hop culture and rap culture, like, Tupac left a mark on society also. And it was just so amazing. This teacher, like, drew out, the need to articulate what we were thinking. And not only that, but to be concise and also have a defense in what we're saying, especially with social media now. It's easy. You can write paragraphs of things. You can write just all over the place and say so many things and have very little to say and have very little impact It may make waves. It may stir up emotion, but is it like really changing people's hearts? Is it really like leading people towards what we want ultimately? And that's like, we want them to find Christ. We want them to find like the inspired word. And like really through this time, I had like a 15-page paper at the end of that class, and I ended up writing on thug theology. And just how, like, through Tupac's life, he had this Reverend White that was constantly investing in his life. And, like, this reverend's eloquence with words, he was in prison during the time as he's been ministered to, like, actually inspired Tupac in a lot of his writing. And you find, like, Tupac had this vein of, like, kind of religiosity or, like, the spiritualism that was stood out. And I wouldn't recommend listening to his music to find that out. Maybe look up the lyrics. But even then, that's going to be spotty. But I just really found that there's a treasure in writing. And I saw these two characters. I mean, both Che Guevara and Tupac, like, they were very influential people. And the things that they did in writing. I guess they, like, spoke, they rapped, but they started with the writing. And I mean, even after Tupac was shot, like, he had more albums come out after his death because he had so much writing behind him. And I think for a believer, like, there's no reason we shouldn't be producing that, if not more, in our lives. And especially if God's like put it on our hearts to write down these things, we have something to give to people. And just to go through a couple passages that kind of inspired me in writing. One was Psalm 144, verse 1. And it says, I'm just going to be going through these, so don't expect you to keep up. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." And I really love this one because it has to do with, I mean, just our hands, like God teaching our hands to war, like God teaches us to use our hands and our gifts in a way that is going to be beneficial for his kingdom. And then I like the second part of this as like my fingers to fight. And in one aspect, it's us like turning the pages of the Bible. And the other aspect, it is like writing. It is like putting down what God has like inspired us to put down. And I started writing, like, I guess, intensely when I started Bible college, because I was receiving so much through the Word. I knew I was going to go through the Bible in a year. So it's like I need to write down something for each book of the Bible. And I found I had this poem called The Oak Tree that was given to me. It was like on this Hallmark card. And I mean, it was this amazing poem that I still have the card to this day. And like, it just spoke about having roots that were deep. And though the storms like come, like the roots are still there and the winds are like talking to this tree. It's like, why are you still there, tree? And he says, "My roots are deeper than you'll ever know." That was the last line. And just knowing, like, God, like, puts these roots, like, puts these, like, seed thoughts in our hearts as we hear messages, as we read his word. And so often I feel like we don't water them. We don't, like, really nourish them in a way that lets, like, the word do its work. And, I mean, we have, like, 66 books here. We have, like, inspired words from God, like, breathed by God. And, like, Pastor Steve was saying, like, this is the ultimate inspiration, and these are the most beautiful things we can read. And like, I'm just thinking for like our vision, our mission, in Habakkuk, it says like, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that ye may run, he may run that readeth it." And I found with writing, like, first it was just for me, and I think initially it needs to be that. It needs to be like God speaking to you through the word, or God speaking to you through the things you read, and you writing it down for yourself to look back on, to maybe build upon, and really like writing down seed thoughts. If God, I've heard it said like inspiration is like indigestion. It comes and goes. And like really with like God's inspiration, if God like gives us a rhema, I feel so often like we don't write it down. We don't write it upon the tables of our heart. We don't like really consider it in a way that's like, oh, God gave me something. I need to write this down and like put it in a stone tablet in a sense and really let God like grow this. I've found like so much value in writing down those seed thoughts. And from those seed thoughts, like God has built like really an inspiration to write. And as I was going through the books of the Bible in Bible college, I found by the end of 2 years, I had enough for a book. And I saw that the things that I wrote, like, inspired people, it touched people, like, I shared little bits and pieces of it, maybe read a little bit to a group here, like, hesitantly would bring it out there. And as I saw that God was using what I wrote down was actually valuable, actually had something that God could use, really I realized like this is more than me. This like God has like one, inspired me through his word, and two, like has given me ability to articulate it in a way that is like reaching people. It's touching people in a way that may have not been real before. And it's, in a way, like connecting them with the Word of God in a way that may be needed to build a bridge to the Word of God. And I mean, for the most part, I write poetry. And I'm like currently working on like an allegory where like the dialogue between the characters is like poetic. But I found that like just in writing, like, writing and continuing to write, having quantity, like you do find that quality. You do find like these things as like God inspires you that, like this is meant for someone else. This can be shared and like God can grow it. I mean, out of 2 years of Bible college, I was able to produce a 160-page book. And I know for a fact there's over 100 copies out there. And there's several of my family members, like my grandparents, that use it as a daily devotional, which I never would have thought, like, oh, this book is going to be a devotional for someone. But they're finding, like, a walk with God and the Word through things that I wrote. And that's an amazing thing. Like, to be used in a way that's beyond you. And I find, like, with writing, that's something, it's very vulnerable because you are writing down, like, what God's put on your heart, and you're putting yourself, like, you're, in a sense, like, bleeding on the page. And in a sense, like, if you give it to someone else, you're giving a piece of you, like, giving a, like, a little bit of those roots to someone else. But you're also giving a seed of the gospel. You're also giving, like, maybe a seed thought to someone that God can water and grow and maybe cultivate something in someone else's life. So, I mean, this may not be the most practical thing from me, but I'm just wanting to communicate that, like, you're writing what you write down, what God inspires you to take note of, and what God, like, moves you to record. Like, there's value in those things. And as you learn the craft, as you realize some words work together, some words, like, there's easier ways to communicate. I find the best writing is concise writing. Some of the best books I've read have been the shortest ones. And I find as I've grown in writing, like, I find that I'm writing less, but the words have a lot more weight, and they're more direct. And I would say the main thing is, like, really draw from the inspiration, draw from the word, draw from what God like inspired. And as like you read these things, as you read other things about God's word, like you, I find you will be moved to write things down. And even from the sermons, a practice I've kind of made my own is like through a sermon, like there may be a thought or something, I'm like made a point to like star thoughts or like really highlight something in my notes. And then I have like these little keys or little seeds that I can go back to, and really like God can develop those things. So as far as like self-publishing goes, it's very easy. I wouldn't be intimidated by it. Like there's several, there's Amazon that you can go through. There's like this thing called CreateSpace that Pastor Jason here uses quite a bit, and it does very well to even like go to different channels. And it's also like editing, like when you're producing something, like my first thing I self-edited, I gave to peers to edit. It's not polished in any way, but I found that God used it. And I mean, there's some Greeks that have it. There's family members that have it. And I mean, there's people here in Baltimore that have it, and God's using it. So I would say, like, don't get so caught up in the mechanics of it. I mean, God will grow that as you do it and continue in it. Like, you will find you're going to want to get competent, as Pastor Sliva was saying, and be writing things that people actually find relevant or communicates to the right audience that you want to communicate to. But I would say, first and foremost, just write. Write for yourself, and just be sure to record, like, what God's doing, and be sure to, like, really set it in stone, in a sense. That, like, God may, like, grow things. God may, like, use your words through his word to inspire others. So I think that's all I have to say.
Yes, Pastor Ben. Well, I do need one. Everything that I publish is, I have an editor. I mean, I have Trish Watson on staff here. Everything before it goes on my blog, she reads it, and she has, you know, it's improved. So it could be a peer. Pam Greaves here is a former newspaper person. She's an ink stained, well, we don't even say that anymore. We used to call ourselves ink stained wretches because, but she could, I don't want to say that about her, but she, you know, you can find that. I mean, I think one of the things that you got from this is like you probably are a little bit confused because Chad is writing this way and Pastor Sliva is writing that way. And I'm telling you, yes, finding an editor is like finding editor I've been both. I've been a writer and an editor, and that was just a completely different mindset. Like I'm responsible for more than 800 booklets that you see over there. At 24, I went to Lenox, and Pastor Stevens wanted his books to sound not like Sword of the Lord books. He loved Jack Iles, but he didn't like his publishing, the way his books were edited. He wanted them. So, you know, when I would edit Dr. Stevens' stuff, it was like I had to, like, really, like, think who – I had to think like he thought. I had to learn how to think like Ethan, and that's another process. Editing is a whole other process. Finding an editor is someone who doesn't want to change that. Like Pastor Sliva's book, I edited his first book, and I kept going through it, and I kept thinking, I do not want to take Pastor Sliva out of the book. When you talk to someone who's reading it and they start making changes, you'll know. You know, just keep it. You keep a copy of yours, and then you give them a copy, okay? And don't give them your master copy. And then when you look at it, you can tell whether they're putting themselves into their writing or whether they are really trying to bring out the best in you. You know, like a good editor will change some of those is's and was's. What he's talking about really is like making your language more active, finding the right word, the best verb. That's a nice, strong verb because they all mean the word, you know, there's a reason that there's subtle meanings in everything. And so, yeah, finding an editor for your book is like that's, you know. I think one thing that maybe we could think about here, if you're interested in this, my email address is sandrolonis. You can write that down. That's sandrolonis, A-N-D as in dog, R-U-L as in love, O-N-I-S, at ggwo.org. And I think, I think you all probably have particular questions about this going through, but I think that if I get enough responses, I can figure out how to form a writer's group within the Greater Grace platform, and we could use that space for you to, find an editor. You know, I'm editing something from Pastor Mati right now. I'm reading through it. It's like really, it's like one of his paintings. It's all full of colors. He writes like he paints. It's like I'm going like, this is amazing because this is remarkable, you know. And so I think that would be like, if you're interested in that, please send me an email and we can figure out how to construct that. I'm not a good computer person, but we can construct a place where we can go and put stuff and allow it to be peer-reviewed, as they call it. Like, you know, we're all peers. We all want to be writers. We all have chosen to be writers, so we are writers, and it can go in there. And so those of us with more experience can help you. And, a lot of people send me stuff. Like, I've got, like, four publications that are back to back to back to back, you know. And whether I would edit it, that would be, you know, I might not have time to do that, but there might be someone in the group that finds a calling at that. It's like really good. And Philippe Siragi has like been a godsend to me because I am more on the creative, productive end of it, but he is like really a genius. He worked in a print shop in Paris. He's really a genius of all the production scheduling and everything like that. So how to get a book to press, like how to get a book through our press process, you know. And, like, blogs are amazing. Like, I wrote a blog on a riot that happened here in Baltimore, and I posted it on my Facebook page, and 87 people shared it. And then I found out that it got up over 30,000 reads. That's like, you know, and I just, like, that was, like, one of those things where, like, I am a Baltimorean, and it was like I poured my heart out. I wrote it like this. I can quote you the first line. Baltimore is the place where two seas meet. It's neither north nor south nor Washington nor New York. And then I went into this whole thing about her inferiority complex and everything about Baltimore. Like all the people that I grew up with like started like sending this to everyone. So you could write a Facebook post, and the next thing you know, you got this audience, you know, and it's like, and I'm like Pastor Sleeve. I'm like, who's going to read this? Like, I'm sort of, you know, but I'm sort of beyond that. Like, I've been analyzed. My writing's been analyzed, picked apart, deconstructed, and it's a very painful process. And my journalism instructor in college told me that you were going down, you're not taking any more journalism classes. And he said, you're going down to the English there. You're going to take advanced composition. And I took it from this woman, this British woman named Burley, and it was painful. I got a C in the class, yeah. And I only got a C because my last two pieces of writing were A's. It's like I started out, she's like, D minus. I said, what is wrong? She said, you make too many mistakes. Your imagination is running wild. You're not, like, getting things. You write like a journalist. I said, well, I am. I'm studying to be a reporter. And she says, well, that's not what you're here for. And so it was painful. And we also had this assignment, which is maybe you could try this. It's going to take some time. We had to turn in a notebook. We had all these essays that she gave us. We didn't have to read them. We had to copy them by hand. She gave us 15 essays for 15 weeks, all of them over 2,500 words. We had to write them by hand and turn in a book every 2 weeks to show that we were doing it. It's like, that was painful. Like, you know, it's like I'm writing sentences. And she says, this is the only way you're going to get in touch with the language. And she was right. She was right. I'm writing Martin Luther King's letter to the Birmingham jail. I'm writing it out in longhand in this book. And I'm like, and suddenly I realized I'm starting to think like these people. So, I mean, you could pick out some favorite writings like that if you want to do that and craft that as a habit. And it might help you, you know, maybe use shorter ones, like 500 words. It is like your wrist starts to hurt, all that kind of stuff that you did. If you had to write a lot of sentences when you were in grade school, then you know your wrist starts to hurt. I had those sentences all the time. But anyway, because I was overactive. You know, I wasn't quite hyperactive. I was just overactive. But anyway, so anyway, I think I hope this has been useful for you. How many have found this useful? Yeah. And so again, write a lot, you know, commit yourself to it, you know, give yourself a time, write, make it, you know, I would say not write a light, write consistently, write for yourself, and then, go back and repair the mistakes. And that's what I would say. I would say create the quantity, and then Pastor Sleeve has got, you know, learn to write, go through and make the words better. And like Chad says, there's inspiration. You do have that. You have that. This is a really amazing way for you to, like, really find something about yourself. It's really a great way to find yourself. And it really, you might find yourself more emotionally and spiritually healthy because you've decided to write things down. I mean, I don't know why that is, but I don't know what kind of lunatic I would be if I wasn't a writer. You know, God, you know, my wife could tell me. My wife could tell you if you asked her. But be careful. She said brain surgery. And that's a whole story. So anyway, so is that okay? Are we good? All right. So feel free. I have a couple of cards. If you didn't get my email address, then I can give you those cards. And you can send me any question that you have about this great process. So, Lord, thank you for our gathering today. I think it's been really helpful. Thank you to Chad and Pastor Sleva and to Terry. We just pray that Terry's book sells a billion. That'd be awesome. You know, Terry has published, Terry Shishmanian, she has published like a fiction thing, which, and it's an adolescent novel, right? Middle grade novel next June. So pray for that. So thank you, Lord. Amen.